The scripture today is taken from the third chapter of Mark, and it's beginning with the 20th verse. And by the way, I want to give you a quote from Maya Angelou. If you follow me on my Facebook page, I had this quote earlier in the week.
Yep.
But I want to frame what you're about to hear from Jesus in a teaching with what Dr. Angelou had to say. Quote, "Never make someone a priority when all you are is an option to them."
What?
Say it again.
Amen.
Amen.
Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option. I want you to keep that framework in your mind as you listen to today's story. Jesus came home, and as usual, a crowd gathered, so many making demands on him that there wasn't even time to eat. His friends heard what was going on and went to rescue him by force, if necessary. They suspected he was getting carried away with himself. Have you ever heard that about Jesus before? His friends suspected that he was getting carried away with himself. The religion scholars from Jerusalem came down spreading rumors that he was working black magic, using devil tricks to impress them and spiritual powers. Jesus confronted their slander with a story. Does it make sense to send the devil to catch the devil? To use Satan to get rid of Satan? A constantly squabbling family disintegrates. Would you like to hear that again?
Yes.
A constantly squabbling family disintegrates. If Satan were fighting Satan, there soon wouldn't be any Satan left. Do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied person and walk off with their possessions unless you tie them up first? Though then you could clean them out. Listen carefully. I am warning you. There is nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you persist in your slanders against God's Holy Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives, sawing off the branch on which you are sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one who gives. Forgives. He gave this warning because they were accusing him of being in league with the evil one. Just then, his mother and his brothers showed up, and standing outside, they relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. He was surrounded by the crowd as he was given the message. Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside here looking for you. And Jesus responded, "Who do you think are my mother, my brothers, or sisters?" And looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, "Right here in front of you, my mother and my brothers, obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." Wow.
Wow.
Heavy duty scripture, right?
Yeah.
And actually, if you really pay attention to it, you ought to be disturbed. Disturbed to the very core. Because you remember a few weeks ago, I said that one of the things that we're teaching at this church with some consistency is that if you want to know the peace that Jesus always talks about giving us, if you want to experience that peace, then we have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we do business. And Jesus, at this point, I think this is just, because I hear people all the time talk about, you know, what great Christians they are, and then you see them out in the world screwing around. Okay? And then, of course, when you see them out in the world screwing around, you make a judgment about it, right? Completely forgetting how hard it is to be what we say that we want to be. And here's Jesus, who by my calculation, and at least all the stories that we've gotten up to this point, never did anything that should have had people sitting there going, this guy's a danger to us. Now think about that. If you want to compare that, think about what goes on when we hand out the hygiene kits. Everybody has got a reason why we should not be doing it. Amen? You know what they are, don't you? You're enabling people. They know you're coming, so they just come and look for you to get some free stuff. You're doing nothing to get them a job. Oh, by the way, they just throw that crap on the ground. Even when you want to do something good in your community, there are going to be people who sit there and tell you you are doing it wrong. Even when you sit down and say, look, why is this person on the staff of the church? Not this church, so don't anybody go there. But I've seen this happen. Why is this person on church? Don't you know what their history is? And thank God for this pastor, because the pastor looked at him and said, my understanding of Jesus' teaching is about forgiveness. We live today, not yesterday. How many people might have a job today if employers employed that? I heard about somebody today that is looking for a job, is qualified for the job, and the manager looked at that person and said, well, you know, you got fired from your last job. Jesus was getting into trouble because he was trying to get people to change the way they think. And doesn't it make sense that his family thought he was nuts? Amen?
Really?
I mean, they did. Did you listen to the scripture? Let me see here. He didn't have time to eat. His friends went to rescue him. How many of you? Now, I'm just asking this. How many of you would come to try and rescue your pastor if you thought he wasn't eating? Maybe. No, I didn't want a response to that.
By will or? Oh. I mean, if you were fasting, I'd let you.
Yeah, just.
Okay. People were concerned.
I stopped cooking.
Now you better come rescue me.
That's a marriage on the rocks right there.
Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the man was so involved, and I know, I go through this. I don't eat lunch 9 times out of 10. And the reason I don't eat lunch is not because I'm not hungry. I don't think about it. You know, it hits me at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you're starting to get that headache because you haven't ate anything. And you're sitting there going, oh, damn, I forgot to eat. His friends thought that he was too involved. Tell me that you have not heard that before.
Yeah.
These people will be there tomorrow. You got to take care of yourself. And then his family on top of that, well, you know, every one of you sitting here today, you know what it is about family. Family first. If you've got a choice, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this, you may not want to hear this, but it's true. If you've got a family reunion to go to or hand out hygiene kits, guess what you're going to hear?
Family.
Really? Amen.
Wow.
What would Jesus say? Hand out the hygiene kits. And there would be people who would sit there and go, oh, well, of course you're saying that, Pastor, because it's for the church. And if you think that I'm saying that because of that, then you haven't read this passage.
Okay.
See, I recognize that the church universal has played the guilt card for so long that people are not even thinking about or taking into their guts what the definition and teachings of Jesus are, because we reject it out of hand on the part of the institutional church as a power play. But I am telling you, read this passage, and if you want to know what peace is, then practice what's going on here. This is the new definition of family. If you're in the closet at home, you need to come out. If you've got yourself in a relationship that's a bad relationship, then you need to quit being an option. You hear me? You need to quit being an option. That person either is going to get themselves help and pick up what you put in front of them, or you will not be there. The family that Jesus talks about is not about blood. Just because you come from somebody's genes doesn't mean that they get to abuse you. And I'm not pointing anybody out, Dugars, or any of those other folks. However you pronounce it.
I think it's pronounced hypocrite.
And by the way,
amen.
If we followed this passage, people today would be embracing Caitlyn Jenner rather than talking about her like she's a dog. Everybody has an opinion, folks, but I'm going to tell you today, before you espouse your opinion, read this passage. Read this passage. Because what this passage calls us to do is to completely step outside of ourselves and be concerned about those people around us. And by being concerned about those people around us, then we will be okay. Now, I had a cute story I wanted to tell you. Oh, yeah. About differences of opinions. This is from, I don't know if you've all heard of King Duncan. He's a United Methodist preacher, and he took a story from a guy by the name of Eugene Bryce, who tells a story about a minister who returned to visit a church that he had once served. He ran into Bill, who had been an elder and a leader in the church, but wasn't around anymore. And the pastor said, "Bill, what happened? You used to be there every time the doors opened." "Well, pastor," said Bill, "a difference of opinion arose in the church, and some of us couldn't accept the final decision, and we established our own church." "Well, pastor," oh, I said that, "is this where you worship now?" asked the pastor. "No," answered Bill. "We found there, too, that people were not faithful, and a small group of us began meeting in a rented hall at night." "Well, has that proven satisfactory?" "No, I can't say that it has. Satan was active even in that fellowship. So my wife and I withdrew, and we began to worship on Sunday at home by ourselves."
What's the common denominator here?
Yeah. Wow.
"So you've at last found inner peace." "Well, I'm afraid we haven't. Even my wife has started to develop ideas that I wasn't comfortable with, so now she worships in the northeast corner of the living room, and I'm in the southwest."
Wow.
A house divided.
It's exactly what was going on with Jesus. Everybody got stuck on a way to do things and decided. And by the way, I think that if you were present among the Pharisees when they came down, they had to start rumors about it. You know what people say about our church? Today, still today, what people say about our church? Over half of our congregation are straight. Over half the congregation are straight now. But you know what they say? Oh, that church? They're a gay church. Thank you. Amen. But that's what the people who don't want to do the work, that's exactly what happened to Jesus. They accused him of black magic. They accused him of being satanic. And the reason I'm sharing that with you folks is the longer we do this and the more we do this, the more they're going to lie about you. The more they're going to try to blow it off. the more people will think you're nuts. People will argue with you. And I know, y'all are sitting there kind of saying, well, you know, it's really not that difficult. How about when you forgive somebody that nobody else thinks you're supposed to forgive? How about when in your mind of minds, you know that that person over there doesn't deserve to live, but you remember that they're part of God's creation and you can't get in their head, so the best you could do is to forgive them. Yes. Families split apart because there's no what? Forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Families split apart because they make a judgment about somebody in that family and decide that they're not worth working with. We have become, in this society and in the institutional church, we have become people's options. And it's time that we stop. Mm-hmm. It is time that we start living what Jesus taught us to do. And that's to love unconditionally. Let's have the conversations. Let's have the hard conversations of how, Pastor, do I forgive myself? Because once you forgive yourself, it's a little bit easier to forgive the other idiots that are around you. Amen? I pulled this illustration out this morning to share with you, and I was wondering how I was going to share it. And then Deb and Mason just walked right into it. M.H. Schubert shares the story about a group of fishermen in the Scottish Highlands. They gather for tea to discuss the day's catch. As the waitress set down a cup of tea, one of the Irishmen accidentally knocked it against the wall. It left a really ugly stain. One of the guests got up, went to the wall, and began sketching around the stain with a crayon. What emerged was a stag with magnificent antlers. The man was named Sir Edwin Landseer, England's foremost painter of animals. If an artist can transform an unsightly stain into a beautiful masterpiece, think what God could do with our sins. God absolves them and in their place refashions us towards full maturity. The key here is not about getting even. The key here is not about you justifying to yourself the other person's actions towards you. The key here is when you forgive and let it go, it's the only way that you get past the toxicity. Amen. That's where it starts. You take a bad situation and turn it into a work of art. If you want to talk to somebody outside a church that has a testimony about taking a bad situation and turning it into a work of art, talk to Rhonda. You want to talk to somebody else about taking a bad situation and turn it into a work of art? Talk to John Wade. If you want to talk to somebody who was in a bad situation and turned it into a work of art, then talk to Chuck once in a while. You see, we are more worried about staying away from toxicity, and we are more concerned about staying away from trouble than we are about putting ourselves in a position that we can handle the trouble. And we can only do that if we forgive ourselves, and then we find the strength to forgive those around us. Now, the reason that I said never make someone a priority when they are nothing more than an option. You are nothing more than an option to them. Okay, here's the deal. If somebody's drowning and you jump into the water to save them and they fight you, you are not going to drown with them. Yeah. We are not Jesus Christ. So understand when people tell you that this church has no theology and it's too simple because we take everybody. Understand that we're not taking everybody without responsibility. When you call the pastor up and you're in pain, and again, don't respond to this because I already know the answer. I'm not bringing this up as an example to try to get pats on my back. But there isn't anybody here or anybody in our community that when they have called me, I have not been there. There is nobody that can sit there and say that Pastor Paul doesn't care. There is nobody that can sit there and say that Pastor Paul has never given me an option. But brothers and sisters, hear the word. If you don't pick up the option, I can't help you. I am not going to drown with you. I am not going to fight with you. When somebody sits there and tells me that they don't have to change. I am nothing more than an option to them. I'm sorry. I have figured that out. We are about teaching. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what this is about. Families are going to argue. Families are going to debate. But you don't use violent language. And you don't sit there and whine and moan about how bad your life is when you're not willing to do anything. Ow. But I guarantee you, this is why this passage is hard. This is why it's not easy. You can walk out of here today, friends, and if people are going to treat you like an option, you need to find some new friends. If people don't want to experience and learn from your experiences, find yourself some new friends. If people are going to discredit you because you are in the mood to do justice and walk humbly with God and to be merciful, and they think you're crazy, find some new friends. That's how you get rid of toxicity in your life. And I will close with this. I'm as close to being a heretic by most people's definition as they come. I'm as progressive as they come. I also have some lines in my life that I will not cross. Amen? That doesn't mean I'm making judgments. You've all heard me say that I think drugs ought to be legal. Amen? I think it's a waste of time. I think people have died for no reason. I think we would have more people not addicted to drugs or at least working recovery if drugs were legal. Because then it wouldn't be so hard to admit that you've got a problem and go get help. Amen? However, I don't like drugs. I don't like what they do to you. I don't like the way they make me behave. Wait a minute, Pastor, have you done drugs? Yeah, I used to smoke pot. Oh, yeah. You know, I inhaled. I know what it is to inhale. And if you want to know what the drug did to me at some point, see me when we're not on camera. But the point is this. At one point, I had an opportunity to smoke, party a little bit, and I decided I didn't want to that night. I wasn't feeling good, wanted to go home. So I went home, get a call the next day going, oh man, Paul, you missed some great stuff. It was cut with some coke, and we got real. And I said, excuse me? When were you going to tell me you cut this drug? Now, brothers and sisters, that was a family member. I didn't touch a joint after that. Can't trust your family. Who can you trust? You think I'm going to trust somebody selling junk off the street? But now here's the deal. I decided I was done, finished, and kaput. When I got my first church in Toledo, we had a fella who was part of, what is it? Somebody help me here. Normal.
Normal.
Is it normal?
Yeah.
They're the folks for the legalization of marijuana.
Marijuana laws.
Amen. And I'm all for it. I would vote for it. And this dude smoked every chance he got. Amen. He invited me over to a party. Yeah, I've told you the story, but it's the good way to finish here. He invited me to this party, and he was pretty sure I wouldn't go. And I said, I don't have any problem going. But just don't hand me a joint. That's what I said. Don't hand me a joint. I am not interested in that. Well, I get over to the party, and everybody's having a good time. The house is full. I walk into the dining room, and there is a punch bowl that did not have punch in it. It was loaded with rolled joints. And there was this dude sitting there in front of the punch bowl, kind of like my dog sits in front of me just before you give her her food, staring at that bowl. And I looked at him and I said, brother, what is the matter with you? You look like you've lost your best friend. And he looked at me and says, I'm simply waiting for you to leave, Pastor.
Wow.
The man who said that I'm here for this party, said as long as you were here, we couldn't smoke. Because it would offend you.
Wow.
So what is it, folks, that you're so stuck on? That you're so stuck on that you allow yourself to be an option to somebody. God bless you.